بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So you know, one of those moments when you think you've pressed the record button and you start talking. This is exactly what happened right now. I spoke, I don't know, maybe like 15 minutes, I guess. it was not recording. So, all right. So welcome back for me, because I already welcomed you in my head. To the 13th podcast, the 13th episode of the podcast Iftar for Soul, and we are going to talk about the 13th revelation today. The surah is, I mean, I have to admit that the surah, although it's very short, it's only like 3 ayat, but it is one of the most powerful surahs in the Quran, with its such deep meaning that some of the scholars have also said that even if the surah was only revealed, it would guide us to know what do we need to survive. Like, what is the human survival? That's what we would just, the surah would have been enough to wake us up. So this surah is actually, you know, one of those surah that kids usually, you know, when they start, when they are learning how to pray, this is one of the surahs that, you know, you recite in your prayer, because in our prayers we are required to recite a part of the Quran. And of course, you know, when you are learning the Quran in the beginning, when you're learning how to pray, you try to find this smaller surah. But of course, also, you know, if it's Ramadan and you go out to pray and, you know, you want to go back to the table and eat, so you recite the surah so you can quickly pray and go back. Unfortunately, it is like that also. But yeah, some people do that, including myself sometimes, I have to admit. But anyway, let's not get into that. So the surah is quite short, but I know the surah, I guess, 20 years ago, since 20 years, but I think I really know what it is a year and a half. And I feel that it has, you know, there are always these moments of awakening, right? Like, I think we always have that incident that takes place in our life that wakes us up from the inside, where we sit down and question ourselves. And I think this moment is not something that you can look out for. This is a moment that comes to those who seek for it. And because I think this is the beauty of how spirituality works, that, you know, you need to want it. You cannot just do it because it's a trend. This is my humble opinion. You cannot seek spiritual awakening because it's trendy or it's the thing to look for these days and everyone's talking about it. So that's why I'm going to also do it. But I think it's much more than that. And I've met so many people who are on the spiritual path, and I'm really happy to be blessed by the company of these people, because they inspired me on my way. So I'm going to take an example. Like, why did I actually question a lot about the surah? Like, why should I study this? I think it was in 2014 or 15 that I came across an interview. So there was this, I know the person that I'm going to mention perhaps is not the best example of a scholar, but you know, we cannot judge the light of a heart and of anybody, and I think we shouldn't be doing that based on what they do in their life. So she's a former Miss Universe. She's from India actually, and I think she got this title late 90s, if not mid 90s, I guess. Her name is Sushmita Sen, and I have always liked her, you know, for her personality and the way she used to carry herself. She had elegance in herself, and I think, in my opinion, she has one of the most beautiful smiles. But that's not the point here. So she was on a red carpet event, and, you know, they were talking about, I don't know what was the context, how it got into that, but she, you can YouTube this video. She talks about to the in front of journalists and, you know, all these people out there, like, and she talks about that, there's this one surah that's really close to my heart and has one of the most important lessons. And then she recites the surah. And I was just sitting there, and I thought, like, she's perhaps not even Muslim, and I think she's not, and she knows a message of a surah that I've been reciting for the last almost major part of my life, and even I don't know what it is. I mean, I can translate it, but do I actually know the meaning? And at that moment, I realized how much meaning is lost in translation. And I was like, okay, you know, this is something that I need to that I need to work for. And for a very long time, I did not do anything about it until, I don't know, until last year or a year and a half. And honestly, this is one of the surahs that many scholars have even written books about it. And just to, I will recite the surah just to give you an idea how short this is. So it goes as follows. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. That's all. So this is the surah we're talking about. And I was like, okay, let's read, let's see what the message is all about. And honestly, I think I'm not really sure if my podcast can do justice to the entire message of this surah. So I really I can highly recommend the commentary of Ustad Dr. Noman Ali Khan on this. I think he has provided a very deep insight into this in the surah. So I can highly recommend his lecture on this. On YouTube you can find it. I think it's 1 hour 50 minutes video, but there are also small snippets like 5, like 10 to 20 minutes. Many scholars have commented on that. So without dragging it even further, let's just get into it. So it's quite interesting. Like, if we look at the previous revelations, based on the podcast episodes, we were talking about our destiny, we were talking about the freedom of choice, we were talking about how is the criteria of gratification, what is success, and who defines that. These were the questions we had at hand, right? So now Allah goes a step further and he says, he brings to us, to our attention, something very crucial. I don't know if it's a hadith or if it's a scholar who said that, but they said that two of the blessings of Allah that we completely take for granted are health and time. We always think we have enough time at hand. We always think we have, we are fit, whatever. We don't realize what blessing certain organs of our bodies are until they start malfunctioning, And the irony is that I would, if logic tells me that I would take something rather for granted that I have some control over. But the question is, how much control do we actually have on our time and health? And if you think about it, when I actually came to Germany, one of the biggest shocks that I had in this culture was people telling me to meet at 6:10. I'm like, who meets at that time? Where I was coming from, you were like, okay, let's meet in the evening sometime. Then, let's meet at 7, you show up at 8:30. But then, when I came here, I realized how much value was given to time. And, Germany is only one of the countries where this happens. Japan is a very solid example. We all know, how punctual the trains and the metro system is in Tokyo. Like, we all at least I grew up taking that as an example in my engineering studies. When we talk about efficient systems, time plays a role, of course. And Allah swears upon something when He wants to bring something to attention, something to knowledge, something to lay emphasis on, and He says, "Wal asr." And if you look at the translation of the surah, it actually shows the time that's... I will just go to the English translation. It says, in one translation, it says by time. That's all. The other translation, it says by the passage of time, which I think is where I'm... is more suitable for where I'm heading at the moment. So the time that Allah swears upon is not the time that we have at hand. It's the time that passing away, just to create a state of urgency, to create a state of emergency. And in this surah, the central point of the surah is not what you need, what is your success. It's more about, it talks about what you need to survive. And survival, like, what is the survival of humanity, right? And I think when we are talking about survival, we would only talk about the tools we need to survive. We will not talk about success at the end. Like, what is my success? Just to put things into perspective, imagine you're sitting down with your boss and you're talking about your pay raise. And then a fire breaks out in the building. The first thing you would want to do is not to sit down and talk about the salary raise. I mean, you might want to sneak into the paper anyway, but that's not your priority would not be, okay, you know, like, okay, what is my pay raise now? What is my promotion is going to be about? The first thing you would want to do is just run and flee to a safe place. And having said that, I mean, it doesn't have to be a fire, but you know, for example, if it's an earthquake, you know, in this state of emergency, you want to do the bare minimum to bring yourself to a safe spot, or do something that ensures your safety in the long run. So this is the urgency that Allah is creating in this surah also. And you know, I used to be a public speaker back in the time, really good old days. I used to be part of the debating team, etc. But you know, times change, and you know, we were always told, you know, one of the topics I would talk about was, you know, motivational speaker, etc. And then, you know, I always, during my training, came across these trainers informing us how vital time is, like how you utilize your time, what kind of people you surround yourself. If you look at, just Google it for yourself, the qualities of successful people on the planet. And then, you know, these are one of the qualities that you'll always come across. They take care of their time, they see with whom they see how they spend their time, with whom they spend their time, etc. So time is always one of the factors that comes up, and it's beautiful that Allah brings about the same element here of our existence. And it's like, so Asr is basically, it could be a time that's passing by. The time, you know, for example, it comes from the root of the Ayn Sadra, Asr. Asir, for example, juice is something that you squeeze out, what's left at the end. So this is the imagery that Allah is trying to create here. And some scholars have also commented that it also means a period of time, like the nations that came before, who went extinct, like what were they up to, right? What were they were doing to succeed, to survive? And since I'm at the moment talking from the Islamic perspective, the success in this would be, or the survival would be, that when you face Allah, when you actually stand in front of Him, that you have made choices that were in the best of your interest. But then again, what was the best of your interest? What was success? I'm not going to get into that. That is something that we all need to find out for ourselves. So anyway, so this is the first, this is how the surah opens. And then Allah gets to the next. So the next ayah is, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. If you translate that, it means, surely humanity is in grave loss. It comes across as a very disheartening ayah, especially when, you know, in the previous episodes we were talking about hope and optimism, right? But what's really interesting in this is that insan, right? The word insan is used to denote mankind or man or whatever, like humanity, so to say. And it has a similar root of the word nisyan, which means forgetfulness. So I was thinking, like, why this verse would come? Like, why would it be said, like, surely humanity is in grave loss? But if you really think about it, Allah talks something about soul. Instinctive in us, that this inherent quality we all have is to forget. So even if sometimes we are told that you are not supposed to do something, even if it's from religion, from our parents, from society, from our partners, from our friends, we always want to go to the other way. So we more or less forget, like, you know, like in quotation marks, we forget what we are supposed to do. So this forgetfulness of a man, this forgetfulness of human is very relatable for me, at least. That that, you know, we sometimes are looking for truth in our life. Sometimes we walk on certain path, and even if we hear things, even if we come across certain things, we don't believe it. Especially when it comes to especially when it comes to topics of spirituality, right? This intellect that we have, sometimes it can also be, I think, it can also work towards us. It can work for us, but it can also work against us, where we over complicate things in our heads. So we humans have, when they hear things that they should be hearing, they don't want to believe in that. So this is what Allah brings the attention to, that these are the kind of people who are in loss, and most of humanity is, because of the kind of choices we make at the end of the day. But to make it, to bring this verse into context, because it sounds, I know it sounds like as a very, very alarming, but just before and after the surah, Allah talks about how human were created to succeed. It's a quality of a human to succeed, and Allah talks about that in the previous surah and the surah after that, after this one, 103. And I think why that is so important is because even if you play some motivational speakers lessons and trainings, if you attend those, that we are always reminded that we are designed to achieve more than we think we can. Right? We are cultured, we are encouraged to create this culture in ourselves that we can have more than we actually think we can. We can achieve more than we actually think we can. We can do more than we think we can. Athletes, Olympic athletes, if you speak to them, like, you know, if you watch their interviews, you know, they always believe in themselves that yes, I can do more. And like, all these people who have succeeded in their projects, in their personal goals. Even if people around you tell you, you know, we get to hear this, right? If people tell you don't listen to people around you, try to believe in yourself. So then this is exactly what Allah also says, that you were born to succeed. I qualified you to succeed. I gave you everything you want you to succeed. But what happens is that sometimes the kind of choices we make is where the things start getting a bit more, let's say, to work against our interest. But then again, you know, the choices we make, like, well, how do we make a choice? What kind of choices can we make? And you know, these are the, and, you know, then again, it gets really deep, and we can start questioning all of that. So I think it opens a door, this ayah actually opens a door that, okay, if I am born to succeed, if I'm qualified to succeed, if my destiny is success, then why actually would Allah in this ayah say that we are in loss, right? So I think this is something quite powerful I find in this ayah. And going to the last ayah right now, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Here Allah says that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, except those. So, you know, for example, sometimes if we have a group, let's say we say that I go to a classroom and I tell you in this podcast, so I went to this class of 60 people, so many of them, and everyone was wearing white except some were wearing blue. So the first thing that comes to your mind is that the majority of people were actually, if I looked at the room, it can come to my mind, okay, more than perhaps 50% of the class was dressed up in white, and some of them were dressed up in blue. So the ones in blue are less compared to the others. So this is what also Allah says, that because of our forgetful nature, so in this ayah, Allah talks about that what do we need to survive? And at the same time, he also said that not many people would actually walk on this path because of the nature we have. But the nature we have is something that we can also train, right? This was what I was talking about in my last podcast, that what is the culture that we need to create in ourselves? What kind of culture we need to create? We need to create a culture of knowledge, for example. We need to create a culture of that. And I left it there because I don't want to give any opinion here. I think it's something that we all need to find out ourselves, based on our culture, where we come from, religion, if we have, you know, we can all get onto this journey. So this is what Allah is trying to also do. He's provoking thought here. And since we are talking about the Quran and we are talking about an Islamic framework, in Islam, of course, the success and the survival would be to what I'm going to tell you now, is that people who do actions of good And people who enjoin, so this is what it says in the translation, except those who have faith, do good, and urge each other to the truth, and urge each other to perseverance. So some translations of this ayah did not do justice to what it actually means, and I think that's why this came also as a shock for me when I was watching this video from Dr. Noman Ali Khan. He says that this ayah talks about something very profound, that we are all right. You know, Allah says that, okay, accept those who are doing good but also enjoying good. So it's something that you surround yourself with people who bring value to your life. So you the people who motivate you, to people who encourage you to work towards success. After we have defined success, after we have defined survival, what our survival is, we need to cultivate that in our surrounding. It's not something that okay, now I know what my survival is, what I need to survive, but that's it. But you know, for example, if you're lost in a desert or in a forest, you know, you will know what you need to survive by looking around for it. You know, and once you've known, okay, this is what I need to survive, you will ensure that your survival kit is with you at every single time. But Allah says that in this world, what you need to survive is actually that you enjoy good. You do good. You spread good. You spread goodness around. And you know, the word Allah uses here, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, is like the amal is a conscious action. For example, like, you know, you have the speaking, you have the driving, etc. But it's like what Allah is saying, that you reconcile with goodness. You know, you try to do as much good as possible. But you know, if you really think about that, right? If we look around us, we can always also question this, like, how many people are actually doing and joining good upon others, right? How many people around us are actually at the moment actively doing something to enjoin good? I'm not saying that there are not many people. This is not where I'm getting to, but this is a question we can always ask. Like, and if we look even at the people in power at the moment, if you look at our politicians who are, you know, the powerful people, like, how many countries you actually know who are actively and involved in joining good upon people. And not only that, but also towards truth. But here, you know, there are four. How many are there? Four or three? So wa'amilu salihat, so you have the actions of goodness, and then you have urge each other to do the. So sorry. Inna alladhina amanu wa'amilu salihat. Amanu are people who have faith, who believe. Then you need people who are actually doing good, who are actually enjoying good, and who are also persevere, and who also show perseverance in their actions. So here Allah talks about, in the end, talks about three things. You need perseverance, you need commitment, and you need consistency. So you know, it's for me, it's very remarkable that, you know, one of the most basic qualities that people talk about in leadership classes, in managerial classes, where, you know, you are taught to lead a group or a project. You know, this is what you're always told, that, you know, you need to show commitment, you need to show consistency in your work, and not only leadership. Like, this is an ability, this is a character trait that we all should have when we are going to work, right? And we know that if we stick to all of this, we will succeed in our role. And not only to succeed, but actually this is what you need to survive in your position. Because if you don't show that to your manager, if you don't show that at work, someone else will take over your position. And you're easily replaceable. So this ayah also not only, if I don't only look at the spiritual aspect, but also in the worldly aspect, I think this is beautiful. I think, for example, the first one, Amanu. I need faith. I need to believe in myself. I need to nurture the self-confidence in me, making sure I'm not crossing the line and turning overconfident. And then I do good. I spread goodness with my. I make sure that my I'm not spreading evil in the society. I'm not spreading vice. Like, I'm not stealing stuff. I'm not. I don't know. I'm not hurting others. I'm not torturing or whatever that is. And then watawasu bilhaq. That you know, you 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 know, you seek the truth, you have evidence, you feel that you have an obligation to seek out the truth. And then you have evidences for that truth, not that you blindly believe in something. And then in all of this, so in the faith, in doing good and in seeking truth, and people who are on truth, let's say, for those who have found the truth, all of this needs perseverance, commitment, and consistency, which is the last thing you need. So, you know, it's a beautiful rounded surah. I mean, I'm sorry, I cannot get into much detail, but because of the constraint of time. But if you look at it, the state of emergency has been created, but it also is telling that humans were designed to succeed, yet still they will be in loss, except these who are having faith, who are doing good, who are enjoining good, and who are enjoining perseverance and commitment. And you know, if these principles are taken out of context of Islam, I think this is a beautiful guide for those who are going to start a journey of even, for example, starting a business, for example, right? Because, you know, I was watching an interview of Beyonce the other day, and I know it's not the, again, I think I like to quote people from different fields, because I think it gives diversity, and I think Beyonce has in her field, let's say, you know, she has made her name, and from where she started and how far she has come. But this is also one of the things she said also, that believe in yourself. That's what she said in this interview, that, you know, you need to work towards excellence. You need to work towards it. You need to effortlessly work. You need to put effort into whatever you want to achieve, and don't listen to people around you, and surround yourself with people, you know, that you work towards the same goal. And I think it was so powerful what she said. And this is exactly what is written down 1400 years ago. Of course, Allah talks about, now if I put back Islam into this, Allah talks about not only your survival in this earth, but also in the hereafter. And so the question also comes, you know, where do I go after I die? So yeah, I know that there are many facets of this discussion, but you know, I just wanted to bring out this surah, and I really hope that I could do justice. I pray to Allah that He keeps me on the path that I have decided to for this podcast, that I do not want to convince anybody of any topic that I talk about. It's more a discussion, and to provide a perspective to think in, a different dimension, and I think I'm also very thankful that people actually reach out to me with their feedback. So I pray to Allah that He opens our hearts, and He puts this in us, that we seek this out. Like, you know, we seek out to learn how to commit, to learn how to be consistent, to learn how to persevere in this in our lives, and to nurture these kind of good habits. And because, you know, this is something that this is a struggle that will always be with us in our life. We cannot put our weapons down. I think we need this to survive this competitive, ever competitive world that we live in right now. And I really hope Allah guides us to the light, Allah guides us to the truth, and He wakes us up to seek it out, and regardless of what truth we end up with. But I just hope that we open ourselves to it, and I hope that you will all have a great weekend and a lovely day ahead. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.